these words from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hear of it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. It was news that I didn't want to hear. I sure didn't want the doctor to tell me that I had broken my ankle. In fact, I couldn't really believe it. Sure, I was in excruciating pain, but I had always thought that I was kind of a wimp when it came to pain. Sure, I had felt that kind of pop when I fell as we were out hiking, but I'd never broken anything. I had suggested to my friend Jodie, who was with me when it happened, that maybe I should just go home and put some ice on it and spend a couple of days off my feet. Thankfully, he just laughed at me as he kept driving my car to the emergency room in Marion, Virginia. The real problem was that it was not convenient for me to have a broken ankle at that moment. The timing could not have been worse. The week before Holy Week, a little bit of a busy time for us pastors, this was news I didn't want to hear. We talk a lot about wanting to hear the voice of God. But what if we do? What if God says something we don't want to hear? What if what God says requires us to do something difficult, to take a stand, to take a risk to put ourselves out there. I love this story of Samuel and Eli. Do you remember Samuel's background? His mother, Hannah, had prayed and prayed for a child. And she had promised God, if she was given a child, that she would dedicate this child to God, give him over to serve God in the temple. Now, we've probably all made those kind of desperate bargains with God, haven't we? If you'll get me through this, God, I'll go to church every single week. If you'll give me this, God, I'll do whatever you want. Most of the time, when we bargain with God like that, we don't really mean it, and we don't follow through. But Hannah did. I want you to imagine what that was like for her to hold this longed-for child in her arms for a very brief time before handing him over to the temple to raise him. He was probably 3 years old when he started living with Eli, helping him in the temple. Eli had blessed Hannah's prayer when she begged for the child, but this probably wasn't the ideal model for a happy childhood. We figure Eli was at least in what would compare to our 90s. We know his eyesight was gone. As Eli's assistant, Samuel's services probably included locking and unlocking the doors of the shrine, keeping the lamp filled with oil, scrubbing out the pots used to boil the slaughtered sacrifice. We can imagine him receiving the bringers of the burnt offerings, the sin offerings, the guilt offerings. This child would have been surrounded by blood, by the smell of incense used to try to mask the stench of death. Hannah gave her child over for that life to serve God. And yet, even though Samuel's life was the temple, he didn't understand the ways of God. Perhaps that is a reminder to us that just going to church doesn't make us a Christian. There is more to faith than just showing up. Part of the problem is that the people of Israel were in a period of real gloominess. There was a vacuum of religious leadership. The priestly functions were supposed to be passed down through Eli's family, but his sons had violated the covenant. They had spurned the ways of God. They had defiled the temple. And the judgment of God had been issued. Eli had been told earlier that his leadership was finished. Even though he himself had not been unfaithful, his legacy was tainted. And so the people of Israel were at this major kind of crossroads. The judgment had come, but the what next had not yet been revealed. And everything about this story enhances these signs of the times. We're told that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. Eli's eyesight had grown dim, a symbol of how disconnected he and the people had come from the ways of God. Samuel was sleeping right near the Ark of the Covenant, a source of divine presence and illumination, but he couldn't perceive what was going on when God's voice came to him in the night. And into that radical period of dislocation, the word of God still comes. And like happens so often, it comes in an unexpected way and to a very unexpected source. A child is given the word of renewal for the people of Israel. The next morning, Samuel opens the doors of the house of the Lord, literally, but he also brings a new awakening, a fresh start, a new opening in the relationship between God and the people of Israel. And he needs Eli in order to be able to hear. Eli, who is the one who perceived God must be speaking to Samuel, and helped him to offer the words that needed to be offered. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And what Samuel is given is devastating to Eli. It reiterates the judgment that had been given before. It condemns Eli and his family once again. It was certainly news Eli didn't want to hear, but he's ready to listen anyway. Eli understands his own legacy is not as important as the reawakening that his people need. The harsh judgment on his family comes with the hopeful proclamation that God will not let evil in the community just slip and slide by. God will not just sit back and let the failure in leadership stand. If we could only have the kind of humility that Eli demonstrates. Those times we find ourselves invested in corrupt orders or failed situations that we didn't entirely create, and yet we more often push to be right instead of get behind what's right. We push to make sure the blame gets shifted somewhere away from us instead of claiming our part. We're willing to hurt others or allow others to be hurt to protect our own hides. But Eli chooses to let go of the past and invest in the future, even though that future is going to shift from his family to Samuel's leadership. The story opens with corrupt and discredited religious leadership, and it closes with new and hopeful leadership. All because Eli and Samuel listened to the word of God. Maybe the times in which we live today are not that different from these days with Samuel and Eli. We too may find the word of the Lord rare. We too may not feel that there are many who are given real vision for God's plans for the world. The bad news seems much more prevalent than any good news. Bipartisan divide, lack of trust in our leadership, ongoing wars, fear of terrorism, a reignited fear of nuclear conflict, an increasing number of natural disasters with bitter cold and fires and mudslides and hurricanes, an opioid epidemic, gun violence. We too live in a time when it may feel that the lamp of God is not shining very bright. Yet we must trust God is not settling for these times. We may be guided by despair, but we can trust God is not. God is still speaking. God is calling forth leaders. God is planting seeds. God is lighting lamps. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we listening? And more importantly, are we willing to do what is asked of us? To do what must be done. And it's not enough just to listen for God's voice. We have to listen for what it asks of us. we need to be aware that what it asks of us is very likely to be difficult. It's very likely to require us to step out of the way so that a new way can emerge. May need us to silence our voice so that others may be heard, like Eli. Or we may be that new voice ourselves. We may be called to offer a new idea, to step out front. We may need a leader who's usually been a follower. Like Samuel, we may not even understand what we're being asked to do. We may need to rely on others to help us take our place. I was thinking about the fact that we are hearing this story of Samuel and Eli on the weekend when we have a holiday to celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King and Samuel probably had a lot in common. In Dr. King's biography called Let the Trumpet Call, we're told that he responded to an altar call when he was 5 years old. But Dr. King wants to make sure we know the truth. He only went to the front because his older sister was going, and he didn't want her to get anything ahead of him. There may be times in our lives when we just kind of stumble into a call. Maybe we even have the wrong motivation. But if we keep listening, and through the help of sages in our lives, like Eli was for Samuel, we can still find our way, and God can still use us. The message that Dr. King was called to preach was certainly a harsh one, in the same way that Samuel's was. He was speaking words many people didn't want to hear. My grandmother, who lived most of her life near Atlanta, Georgia, was critical of Dr. King until the day she died. There were many, even in the African American community, who wished he would just be quiet. What he was talking about would lead to the collapse of the world as it was. In the same way that Samuel's message hit Eli, some things were going to have to be given up for other things to be born anew. And Dr. King seemed to know that following the call of God was going to cost him. The only thing he seemed to get from his courage, at least in his lifetime, was the hatred of many. He was spit at. He and others who followed the dream were blasted with fire hoses, attacked by dogs, sanctioned by the police and the government. He was shot and killed by someone who thought he was evil. And yet, he answered God's. I don't think he could have imagined, as he was going through those days, that more than 50 years later, there would be a national holiday in his honor and a memorial to him on the lawn of Washington, D.C., not far from where he proclaimed, "I have a dream," in 1963. I'm glad I'm probably not going to be asked to do something that courageous to follow God. But we all must still examine our own hearts and see if we're listening for those places where God may be asking us to speak and to act. And thankfully, we don't have to do it alone. There are still Elis around us today who can help us understand. But we do have to be ready to wake up when we hear that voice, when that spirit nudges our hearts, and we still have to be willing to say those words Eli told Samuel to say, "Speak, Lord, for for your servant is listening. Maybe these two feel like dark days, but we must look to the things we say every Sunday we're together. The prayers we say, hopefully every morning, every night. We must remember God's light, it always shines. God's word, it's always being proclaimed in some form or fashion. Maybe we can be the ones who can be the instruments of hope and transformation in our world. Maybe we can be the ones through whom God's voice finds an instrument to speak. Maybe we can be the ones through whom God's light is able to shine into the darkness. Let us pray. Gracious God, we want to tune ourselves in to your voice in the times in which we live, and it can be really hard. And sometimes it's hard because there's a lot of other distractions and a lot of other voices that clamor for our attention. But other times it's hard because what you say is difficult. Sometimes we're not sure we want to hear what you ask us to do. But Lord, we believe in your light, and we believe in your truth. We believe in your power. And for whatever reason you choose to use human instruments to proclaim your word, so help us to even think it might be me that you call today. Step up, not through our own ability.